Hi, and welcome to this week's Three Legs, Four Wheels F1 podcast. It's Paul here with...
Lee. Is it?
Yeah.
Dan.
And Chris. We're all here.
You looked the wrong way and confused us. just glad we know who's who. We've been doing this for a year. We should know who we are by now.
Yeah, but you go this way around.
I know, I thought I'd throw you out completely.
And you did.
Yeah.
Happy anniversary, by the way.
Yeah, can you believe it's 12 months since the first one of these that was fit to broadcast got recorded?
Yeah, it wasn't the first.
And this one's slightly better. Believe it.
Only slightly. But it's slightly better than the ones that weren't fit to broadcast.
Formula One, come on.
Yeah, it. Formula One.
Why are we here?
First thing we'll talk about tonight is what we're christening Halo Gate.
Halo Gate, which is a rubbish name.
Yeah.
Or Halo Wars.
Halo Wars, perhaps.
Yeah.
Hasn't somebody already got to that one first?
It's a video game.
Well, yes. Kimmy tested the Halo last week.
Yeah, and said it was okay.
Visibility was okay. Which
was Kimmy the best person to test it on, really?
Not
Kimmy,
that's
we need lots of feedback. How was it?
Okay. Yeah. Apparently, it wasn't the fully functioning thing because it was all made of carbon fibre, and apparently, if that's what they go with in the end, the real thing will be made of steel and offer a bit more protection.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But some drivers aren't very keen on it.
World champion Lewis Hamilton, for example, called it the worst mod in F1 history,
and said that he hoped it was detachable because he wouldn't be.
Yeah, he would,
wouldn't have it.
He basically wouldn't. When he got the world champion thing, he was not going to race with that thing attached to his car. That's.
I feel like turning around saying, yeah, but unfortunately, Lewis, your head might be detachable if something terrible happens.
There is that.
Something that size.
I didn't say his ego.
just his head, yeah.
Ego floats around him like the Force.
Mercedes powered by dramas.
Talking of egos, he has posted on Instagram a picture of himself in shades to say thank you to Stella McCartney for inviting him to Paris Fashion Week.
Nice.
Thank you for inviting me to Paris Fashion Week. Here is a picture of my face.
Yeah, that's... Yeah.
That's how I thank people for things all the time.
Thank you cards with pictures of your face.
So what do we think about the Halo?
It's not
the best looking thing.
No, it's not the best looking thing.
But as far as I'm concerned, it doesn't matter.
No.
If it's going to save lives, then...
Yeah, that's exactly what I feel about it.
It is.
I'd rather have faster cars with a Halo than slower cars without one.
Yeah.
What I'm really like pissed off with the whole Halo thing is if any of our listeners or any of you have read any of the comments on Twitter comments or... comments on Facebook, you know, and articles about it, and like some of the comments from Formula One fans,
in inverted commas,
that are like basically if you boil the comments down, it's just like Formula One should be exciting, I watch it in case someone dies.
Which
and just like I swear that those people, if there is an accident, and like last year when Alonso went over Kimi, if there is an accident and there's a driver taken out, it'll be those cunts that are the first ones on the forums that go, somebody should have done something about this.
Yeah.
Keyboard
warriors.
Yeah. It really, really annoys me.
And that's why I think the sport needs not to listen to these keyboard warriors who are quite vocal on the internet, but will not actually, as you say, the first time something happens to somebody... Oh, well, it's already happened to Jules Bianchi, but a serious helmet incident, then they are the first ones to speak up and say that we can't allow this to happen again, sort of thing. It can't be allowed to happen again, and I'm not sure that the Halo is the way forward. It's part of the way there. Lee was saying, was it Ben Edwards, BBC commentator, who stated that it's all the Formula One, future Formula One cars you see now have full blown. Canopies, enclosed canopies, enclosed cockpits.
Yeah.
If they're going to do something, I think they should probably just go the whole hog and have an enclosed canopy, rather than this Halo design. It's trying to keep it open cockpit racing for the sake of it being open cockpit racing. If you're going to have head protection additional to a helmet, then have a canopy
But that's do you know what though? This whole open cockpit term is something. I mean, I realise Formula One has always been open cockpit, yeah. But the whole way of people saying open cockpit seems to have only come around again since
closed cockpit has been
suggested. Yeah. The Formula's open wheeled. That's what style of racing it is.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter whether there's a lid on the car or not. It's still open wheel racing.
It is, but I mean, if you look at stuff like the McLaren MP4X that they drew up, it had wheel arches on it, and the wheel arches, IndyCar style wheel arches. Is that still open wheel racing?
The front wheels are open.
Yeah, the closed wheel racing almost, isn't it? But again, that was put in an IndyCar for safety reasons because so many cars were touching wheels and flipping instantly. Was it Dan Weldon who died in the accident that happened to, in a similar accident? So they decided, IndyCar decided they had to do something about that. Nobody's really complained too much about that in IndyCar, have they, really?
Not really.
I mean, when it first happened, there were some people like, what's this? But it's just accepted now. And the sport continues.
The problem is 24-hour news now, isn't it? That's the... It used to be where... If you're interested in something, you would have the content, which is delivered to you either every week or every other week. And then every month you would buy a magazine.
Yeah.
And in that magazine would then be gossip about what you're interested in. Now it's everything and everyone's got an opinion and every person involved in the sport has an opinion. And they're getting put on Twitter every hour. And then everyone has a response to those. So you end up... The word, the opinion of the extremely vocal minority seems much more important than it actually is.
So what you're saying is we're part of the problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they're part of the problem.
But our opinions are right.
No, because this is the thing is...
You know how we were looking for a new feature to replace the Pasta Disaster Predictor? We've got how is Lee going to fix Formula One this week?
I would listen to that and give a 5-star iTunes rating every week.
Thanks to everyone that's rated us so far.
Thank you very much. Just a few more ratings on iTunes if you're listening to this right now. Thanks very much. That'd
be 6 great. People cared about my vague self-harm threat.
But yeah, it's...
I mean, if the internet's proved one thing, it's the ones that shout the loudest get heard the most, regardless of whether they're right or wrong.
Yeah, but I mean, getting back, going insular inside the sport, the split in opinion of people involved in the sport is what's interested me. We've got some people saying that it has to be for safety reasons, and I completely see where they're coming from. I also see where, even though it's slightly contentious. I also see where Nico Hülkenberg is coming from by saying no matter what they do in racing, there has to be an acceptable risk. He gets paid.
Propelling yourself around a circuit at 200 miles an hour is dangerous.
Yeah.
There's no way to make it so safe that no one is ever going to die.
No, but his thing is he offset it by getting paid millions of dollars to do the job that he loves and has wanted to do since he was a child. He gets flown around the world. He's seen things he'd never be able to see if he wasn't doing the job that he's doing now.
The back of the car in fourth place.
In fifth place, Hülkenberg.
Yeah.
I wonder if he'll manage to maintain that more with a slightly faster Force India this year. And I get where he's coming from with that point of view as well. There's an acceptable level of risk every driver knows. I mean, we live on the Isle of Man. Nobody forces the TT riders to go out there and ride at nearly 200 miles per hour around closed roads.
No, but in using that as an example, I think everything that could be done is done on the Isle of Man to try and make it as safe as possible.
Without knocking down people's houses.
Without knocking down people's houses or deciding you can't take bikes around, it's got to be cars. Yeah, it's as far as it being people on bikes... I don't think it could be any safer over here.
Well, that's what Formula One's asking itself, isn't it? How can we be safer?
They tested one of the suits once, didn't they? You know, the inflatable leather suits.
Yeah.
and they sent someone around with not with one armed, ready to go off. It just had the sensor on it, and they scrapped the idea of having those because it went off 180 times over the mountain.
They have managed to fix them since, and they now are standard.
Are they?
Yeah, they are. Well, at least it's Guy Martin's crash a few years ago where, on Connor Cummins.
Yeah.
Where he broke just about every bone in his body. He was wearing an inflatable suit then.
Oh, was he?
Yes.
Oh, right, cool.
Yeah, they now have made them slightly less sensitive.
Oh, nice.
Again, not something that would probably be suitable in a Formula One environment with
That wouldn't work.
With the amount of space in the cockpit having a built-in airbag.
No, but I mean, it's, the question remains the same: how do you make the sport safer?
Yeah.
And well, to make the sport safer, if you're looking at the only exposed part of the driver, is going to be the helmet. Then how do you protect them further? I don't think a halo is a way. Things can still get through the halo.
Yeah, I mean, the halo wouldn't have prevented masses.
No, the spring in Hungary,
with the spring, that was, you know, it was a small part that it was a completely freak occurrence. If there had been a canopy, yes, it wouldn't have been hit by it.
Which is why I think if they're going to do anything, it has to be full canopy.
I know, it makes the margin smaller though. You know, if you get a lump, a spring that sort of tennis ball size, like his was,
yeah.
If all of a sudden it's then got to go through an opening like a foot by half a foot wide. It makes the margin smaller, doesn't it, for that to hit him? So it does.
It reduces it a little bit, yeah.
But it's still possible.
To me, it looks like the cockpit has some serious problems that need years of work to fix them. The classic example is that what do you do when the car's upside down?
But you know what you.
Whereas the halo is something you can bring in relatively quickly.
But what do you do when an LMP1 car is upside down?
Yeah, an LMP1 car going at the same speed as a Formula 1 car and a hell of a lot heavier.
Yeah, so it goes upside down and they've got the little window on the side that they can crawl out of.
So they have a solution that works for LMP.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. I don't see why it wouldn't be as easy to do that for Formula 1. Yeah, but I know the... The cars are smaller, but again, we're making cars bigger again now. So, you know, from 2017, the cars are going to be slightly bigger again. If it means making them slightly bigger again on top of that, so there's adequate space to get a driver out, then fine.
That would probably be the best bet.
It would.
I'm going to wait till we're big enough, and then I'm going to kickstart a whole new series.
An FIA approved racing series.
Formula Lee.
I think you'll find it'll be Formula One.
Formula One.
Oh dear Lee. Oh.
But starting your own racing series takes money, and that's something that Sauber don't have at the moment.
No, they have, well, not that they don't have any money, they have not enough money to pay all their staff.
Yes.
Cash flow problems, yeah. By the sound of it.
Looks like...
So we need to count upon rubbish lawyer, rubbish accountant.
The credit control department hasn't been doing its job. Which is rubbish
for Switzerland, let's be honest.
And let's be fair as well, team management isn't going too fucking well either, is it?
We don't know, but yeah, no. We don't know what's going on in Sauber at the moment. They say that they're still waiting for some money to come in that they'd already expected by this time.
This time last year, she thought she'd sign Felipe Massa.
How many drivers would that have left in the pit lane?
Everybody turns up in a Sauber race suit and just sits in the garage.
Formula Sauber!
But Lewis? What are you doing? Sign for Sauber.
I saw the race suit on the catwalk at Paris Fashion Week and thought, I can make something of that.
Yes.
Oh, Stella can make something of it for me.
But they wouldn't be able to afford the world champion because they haven't paid 300 staff at their factory in Switzerland.
Yeah, that is a little bit worrying. Are they going to be this year's Lotus?
I hope not. I think they might end up being this year's Caterham.
I paid £25 for the Caterham Kickstarter. The crowdfunder for one race. I'm not doing 25 quid a fortnight for Sauber.
No, I felt really proud of that. I also put some money in for the Get Caterham to Abu Dhabi. It was end of 2014, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Did you? Why?
Yeah, because I got to watch Will Stevens not moving over for Fernando Alonso and say, I paid for that.
And then we found out that Will Stevens paid £100,000 for that.
Yeah, which is fine. He gets away with it. He's happy in there. What was it? LMP2?
LMP2 for yeah. New Manor.
New Manor, LMP2. So yeah, good man. Well done.
Yeah, he's rescued his career.
To
be confirmed.
Yes.
Right, it's the big elephant in the room now. The new qualifying rules.
Yes, last time we spoke, it looked like they'd be brought in at Spain, if I remember right.
Yeah, then all of a sudden, Bernie Software Co.
Finished the work they had to do much quicker than expected, so new qualifying in 2 weeks' time in Australia.
Yeah. Now, Dan, we both work in IT. We have worked on the programming side, both of us. That's not a real thing, is it? It's not going to be finished for 3 months. Oh, it's done!
Electric cattle prods. Ron Dennis.
I don't know, you go to your programmers and say, we need this doing, how long's it going to take? And they say, oh, I'm not sure, 3 months. Oh, it was easier than we thought.
I see, it can't be...
Hang on,
did Burley take them out and show where the bodies were buried?
Maybe. It's not
as hard for the actual Formula One side of it as it's going to be for all the TV companies.
Yeah, can I just have a quick show of hands amongst the four of us? Hands up who understands the new qualifying rules.
Yeah.
I'm fully on board with it now.
One and two halves. Sounds like a bus fare. I don't understand them. I'm going to be honest. It's a bit convoluted. It's going to take a couple of races for me to get into it.
I think I'll understand it once I've seen it
It's also not going to help that the first time we see these new qualifying rules, it's going to be 5 o'clock on a Saturday morning.
No, but it's exactly the same as old qualifying. The only difference is now that they get eliminated at a certain point, car by car, during the Q1 to Q2 and Q3, instead of getting eliminated at the end of the session.
You could be on a flying lap and somebody ahead of you could do a flying lap with like 3 seconds to go and be like, ah, you're out.
Yeah.
But that can happen now. You know, you can be on a flying lap, and someone behind you can put.
Yeah, but what if you're going faster than the car who's just about to cross the line? It's just a question of poor luck through timing, really.
But you could say that. Which is the idea?
That's McLaren screwed.
Yeah. But you could say about getting blocked by another car. You know.
Yeah, I see what
these
you mean.
These things happen. I personally think if it makes it more interesting, then grand.
Yeah,
it's quite exciting.
Yeah, I tweeted during the week when they announced it was coming in. Bernie wants to improve the show, and all he's done is tinkered with the warm up act.
Oh yeah, well, don't get me wrong. I don't think this is something that needed to happen. But on the other hand, I'm not willing to damn it until I've seen it.
Are we going to have another of these seasons though, where it gets tinkered with? Mid-season, by the time we get to Europe, it'll be a completely different format.
Probably.
Back to the original format of Q1, 2 and 3 before Belgium.
I reckon way before Belgium. I reckon Spain.
Canada.
I don't... As long as it goes off without a technical hitch, I don't think it'll be changed all season.
If it does have a technical hitch, then, there'll be some more graves to show.
Yeah.
Testing.
1, 2, 3.
Yeah, well, no, the mic works.
Sorry, just quickly, just go back on the qualifying thing for a second. I just want to make the listeners think about this as far as the qualifying goes. Ask yourselves, when you hear the likes of Lewis Hamilton, Nico Rosberg, Sebastian Vettel complain about the new qualifying rules, just ask yourself why the really quick guys are worried about it.
Because they know they can't go out and do a lap and then sit in the garage for the rest of qualifying.
Yeah, it's because they know if as long as they can get the car around the track in a reasonable time, they're looking at no worse. Especially Mercedes is looking at no worse than like the first two rows on the grid. So any element of randomness that could shake that up, it's always going to affect the top guys first. Because they're going to have the most pressure on them anyway, because they should be up there.
Yeah, but if they go out and put the quick lap in that nobody's going to beat, then they can just sit in the garage for the rest of the session.
Yeah, but not if the track's getting quicker and quicker and quicker.
Yeah, and it's very risky to do. I'd imagine what teams would do, go out and do one lap, or the bigger teams, sorry, Mercedes, Ferrari, and then maybe two others maybe, will go out and do one lap in Q1. And then they come back in the garage and they sit there. And then towards the end of the session, they go out and do one more lap. And hope that that's enough. Mm-hmm. Because you've got to look out for tyre wear.
I think they'll have all the cars, you know, in the point where they're going to have to, when they're going to start getting knocked out.
Yeah.
It'll be like, for Q1 will be Q1 like it is for everybody else, where Lewis will go out and put a fast lap in along with all the other quick guys, and they will go in the garage and they will stay there. That's fine for them in Q1. But you'll find that in all the midfield will have to stay out longer in Q1. And then in Q2, I would hazard a guess that most of the field will have to stay out there, and come Q3, everyone will just have to be on the track all the time. The problem here is tyres.
That's what I was going to say, because they don't appear to have done anything with the tyre usage.
Because they brought in a new tyre usage rule, didn't they? Remember
Ted explaining with Play-Doh?
Yeah, we tried to watch Ted Kravitz on Sky explain it using different coloured Play-Doh.
That was
complicated enough. And now they've done this. It's like, well, hang on a second. Is the tyre rule still relevant?
But that tyre rule did free up. It was like an extra set or two sets of tyres, which might lend itself more to have them to run more.
Do you still get? Do you still have to give your Q3 tyres back, and your Q2 tyre is what you start the race on?
I would assume so. Yeah. Because essentially, it's the same quality. The problem is,
you've got a disadvantage for the first two drivers, right? Get to Q3, and you've got like 10th and 9th, first two cars to drop out.
Mm-hmm. 7th and 8th.
Yeah, like 7th and 8th, first two cars to drop out of Q3.
Yeah.
Well, they're done. And if you're saying that they're going to have to run for the whole session, and it gets down to the top first two drivers, they might have done 4 or 5 more laps on those tyres than anyone else has.
Mm-hmm.
Or even in Q2, sorry. In Q2, like, they might have done 4 or 5 more laps than anyone else. So in Q2, the guys who end up being first and second in Q3 might have done an awful lot more laps on those tyres than the guys who
went out. And they're going to be starting with a set of tyres that have had a hell of a lot more use for them, because they're going to be doing the flying.
Yeah, because
they're flying laps.
Because people who went out in 7th and 8th in Q3, you know, they might have just sort of scraped through in Q2. Tyre usage is going to be all over the place. No one's going to be able to work it out.
I
don't know that it's going to make it more exciting, or if it's going to make it really confusing.
I think it's probably going to lead to more overtaking in the pits,
which is what we don't want to see.
Yeah.
Well, you haven't really got the margins for just overtaking the pits anymore, do you?
I think what we'll see is a lot of earlier, thinking out loud here, I think what we'll see is a lot of earlier pit stops. You know, sort of like drivers coming in at the end of lap one and then just using a clear track behind them to sort of gain good lap times. But like Paul just said, just trying to pass in the pits. Like,
but I don't think it's going to affect... The actual new rules aren't going to affect the drivers running as much as you think it is. I think the only real difference is going to come in Q3, when there's actually something to be there for. I think you might find that all the cars or maybe fuel. Say that you've got, because it's only a 10-minute session anyway, isn't it, Q3? So say you've got two sets of tyres, which is what they're usually left with, you know, for doing a couple of hot laps. But I think you'll find both of the, on both sets of tyres, the cars will be fueled a bit longer, so they can be on the track all the time, as the drivers are getting knocked out.
So are we going to go back to the days of when the 3-stage qualifying came in, where everybody's circulating, and then they come in for a racing pit stop and bug in a hot lap?
Possibly.
Yeah.
See, sort of 2006, the problem I've got if they wanted to do this properly and put a really good change in, they'd have to go arse about face with it, where they wouldn't like this, because it would mean essentially the time started fast and then the slowest time at the end would end up getting pole position. Because what should happen...
Well, the least slowest of the two drivers.
No. What should happen is, say, to make it simple, if you think of it in just a one session qualifying, rather than the three-session qualifying, every time a driver gets eliminated, the time should reset. And then, I know, because then you keep you would keep cars on the circuit.
But then that would mean that whoever gets pole has had to do 22 flying laps.
No, well, they'd all be out. They'd all be out anyway.
Which would mean Perez would be on pole because he's the one who can make the tyres last that long.
But yeah, that would be the only, that would be the best way of working an elimination style qualifying. But they wouldn't like that because, like I say,
I don't think you can reset everyone's times.
Of course you
can. In places like Belgium, for example, not everyone will get a lap in 90 seconds.
Well,
yeah, to do 22 flying laps in Belgium, you're looking at being out for 44 minutes constantly, which is longer than a racing stint.
Yeah, no, but don't forget, I was saying that to make it simpler, say in a one session qualifying, you'd still be doing it over three sessions.
I get what you mean. So there's refueling breaks in between the three sessions.
But that's the way I think it would work best, what they're trying to do. That's what it would be like in Leafula 1.
His name is creeping further and further up. Can we talk about testing now then? Please.
Formula Lee.
Somebody say something that isn't him.
Yes, let's talk about testing.
Thank you.
Because,
I like the Venus series better.
Oh no.
Oh.
Lee P2.
Yes!
I like the one below that.
Formula Lee 1000.
No, GP Lee.
And then when I go into insurance for racing, it could be Alan Lee 2 and Alan Lee 1.
Oh dear, someone shut him down.
This just sounds like we're having 24 hours of this one gag.
24 hours Lee Bands.
Oh. You've broken the podcast.
Then I go across the pond.
No.
And you've got the Indy Lee 500.
No, that didn't really work.
No, it didn't.
Enough now.
Yeah.
Testing! My patience. So, were Ferrari quicker than Mercedes? Sort of thought do you think they were on this one, Chris?
Two. Dan knows how many there were.
Yes, some people think that, yes, Ferrari are faster than Mercedes.
And some people think, no.
They're not.
The reason...
Deep technical insight here from the Three Legs, Four Wheels team.
The reason being that some people think that a lot of people seem to think Mercedes are still sandbagging and haven't put in a high-performance run yet and won't do until they get to practice in Australia.
But do you think anyone, apart from maybe Force India, has?
Ferrari might have done exactly the same.
I'd have thought most teams haven't turned the whip right up. They might have turned the wick up and had a load of fuel in the car.
Why would you not test your car racing flat out, apart from you don't want other people to see how well it goes when it's going flat out?
That's it, yeah, you don't want to...
But wouldn't you want to shake the car down at, top speed?
Maybe they did that on their filming day at Silverstone before they went out to Barcelona.
No, you're only allowed to go up to fourth gear on filming days.
Oh, are you?
Yeah.
Ah. Good ruling insight. Thank you.
I'm not allowed to post footage of yourself either.
No.
There were quite a few laps on the kit and soft tyres, which you've got to think they were running those flat out with a low fuel load.
Yeah.
Because that's how they're going to be used.
Well, they're not going to be used with a full car of fuel, are they? Well, you shouldn't be.
You wouldn't have thought so.
No. Yeah, I got through Q2 on kit and softs. Well, that was entirely pointless. They have a really heavy car and no laps of traction.
What was the pole time in Spain? Does anybody know?
The pole time in Spain, well, last year.
Yeah.
I think these...
1:24, if I remember right, thereabouts.
These cars are quicker so far than last year's cars.
And Kimi's fastest lap was a 1:22.
About a 1:22.3,
yeah.
I think.
Nice. Yes. I think the fastest lap's 1:22.3, 1:22.4, and 1:22.6.
The most interesting lap to come out of it I saw was Kimi doing a 1:23.1 on softs.
Yeah.
Not super soft or kitten soft, which does suggest that the Ferrari has got quite a bit of pace, certainly in comparison with last year.
Yeah, in comparison to last year's Ferrari, well, in comparison to any cars last year, actually.
Yeah.
But it's we it appears that we've got a good idea of how much the Ferrari has managed to stretch their legs. The question is, how much further have Mercedes managed to stretch their legs? The answer is, we still don't know.
No. They weren't top in the timesheets.
But they didn't seem at all concerned by this.
But they said all along the main reason is to try and break the car, which they didn't do.
Well, they did. They broke the gearbox in the second test. Was it Hamilton was driving when he broke the gearbox? Yeah. Broke the gearbox and had to stop out on the track. Hamilton broke a gearbox.
Interesting fact.
But he may have been trying to break a gearbox. We just don't know.
Mercedes did a season's worth of running over the test. They did a Grand Prix season in laps.
Well, they did 10 Grand Prix in their first test. So, well, they would only have to do another 9 or 10 in the second.
11.
Yeah.
21 race season,
is it? Well, is it, though? Is it a 21
race? 21 with a little asterisk next to Baku. And US.
And probably a few others that
we're
not quite sure yet. The US
will happen. Pay up, Vladimir, otherwise Russia's off the calendar.
Yeah, you don't want to go through it in Vladimir.
Not really.
But his best mate. There you go.
I think if you do want to speculate
Bernie
about the Mercedes.
In Europe, don't forget.
Lee, Dan's talking now. If you do want to speculate about the Mercedes, because there's not a whole lot that you can get out of testing because you don't know what tests people are running.
Mm-hmm.
But Rosberg was quite often faster than Hamilton.
He was last year, wasn't he?
Every single time he was, I think. But every day of every day Rosberg was in the car, he was always faster than Lewis Hamilton the previous day or the day after.
Yeah, but it was like that last year, and Rosberg had the speed on him in practice in Australia last year, then qualifying came around and he was half a second faster than Rosberg. So I don't think we can read anything off that. I think Lewis just likes to keep the powder dry.
But we want to.
I know.
We had to speculate. There's nothing happening till next Thursday night.
Nico Rosberg has to bring the fight straight away.
Absolutely.
If he doesn't...
He doesn't need to win, but he needs to be
there.
Battling. He needs... Yeah.
He needs to be there, and he needs to occasionally tell his team to shut up and let him do what he needs to do to...
Yeah.
Mm. Rosberg.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's called growing a pair.
Yeah.
Which...
incidentally, by the way, Nico Rosberg posted a video on Twitter of showing off his new helmet design for this year.
I thought you were going to say he's posted a video on Twitter of him growing a pair.
Yeah, growing a pair. He has grown a pair of carrots.
And here's his helmet.
He showed off his helmet on Twitter. It's not that much different.
Is it a new helmet?
Yeah, slightly. It's the chrome blends into the black a little bit more, which he said he quite likes.
That's an almost Kimi Räikkönen level of enthusiasm.
Yeah. This bit blends into that, which I quite like. Apart from that, nothing's really new.
It's okay.
Yeah, it's all right. It's okay, yeah. Kimi, please tell us, what's the halo like for visibility? That's okay. Where's my ice cream?
Well, Iceman long drink.
Iceman long drink.
Which I still refuse to even contemplate drinks. I hate the taste of gin.
Oh, God.
Do you think if Nico can't get on terms with Lewis, is this Nico's last year in Mercedes?
He's not. Yeah, I would say he's got to be there at halfway point during the season. Otherwise, that's it. He's got to be there or thereabouts.
Or accept the role of wingman.
Yeah.
He might have to play that anyway. If Ferrari are as close as we think they might be, he may have to. He may get pulled to one side after two or three races. Like, look, Sebastian's a real title threat here. We're going to have to back one of you. So far, Lewis has won, for example, 2 races. And you haven't shown that you've got the speed. Pick it up now, otherwise we're going to have to back Lewis for the title and you will be second driver.
The more interesting thing is going to be if Nico Rosberg has won the first few races.
And the same thing happens.
Mm. And they say the same thing to Hamilton, yeah.
Yeah.
And he will not take that well at all.
No.
I don't think either of them will, because I think if Rosberg allows Lewis to beat him again, he can't stay in that team. Whether even if if the team wants him to stay in there, he knows he's going to be landed in the number two role.
Yeah.
But if he's not up there at the same level as Hamilton, they might not want to keep him there. You know, so I think if it comes to a, you need to help Lewis win the title, I don't think he'd do it because he knows he's going to want to leave anyway if that happens.
It's down to mental strength again, isn't it?
But yeah, he's got nothing to gain from by helping Lewis.
Except for contract negotiations with other teams.
Oh, well, yeah, I suppose. Well,
I'm a good team player.
Or I've been trampled by my teammate for the last 3 years.
Can I drive for you, please?
Yeah.
Man, racing.
I think standing up and actually fighting in his last year would put him in better stead for another drive somewhere.
Yeah, but look what happens when Rosberg tries to be aggressive and fight Hungary. He clashes with other, he gets reckless, clashes with other cars, and Lewis still ends up extending his championship lead.
I'd also like to point out that he seems to get a free ride on his fucking stupid finger antics. His finger antics are worse than Vettel's, they're very worse. This fucking spinny hand thing.
I'm gonna agree with you on that.
Yeah.
Spinny hand thing is more annoying than the Sebastian Vettel crooked finger. Mm-hmm. And it's more annoying than Hamilton's I'm lifting weights on top of my car, where he sort of does the Schumacher-esque.
Yeah.
The spinny hand, it's a little bit camp. And B, yeah, just really annoying.
It's his thing.
Woo! Yeah, the winner.
It's hard for Rosberg to take the title now because it's just going to upset so many people.
Mixing the invisible upside down milkshake.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I watch a lot of American football, and believe me, there are worse celebrations going around. Just go home and Google dabbing.
No, I don't want to, because
America could bring up some very questionable.
Usually Cam Newton, the quarterback for the Carolina Panthers.
American football celebrations, I don't understand. Like, I think they might be hating each other, and then it is they're actually dancing. Like, I don't get it.
I mean, one guy tried to copyright the money symbol where he rubs his thumb and his fingers together.
Oh, right, okay, yeah, copyright
that. Yeah, he did a year in rehab and... Yeah,
is that one like when Paris Hilton tried to copyright the word hot?
Yes.
Yeah.
And
sucking cock.
Kylie Kardashian has tried to copyright the word Kylie, and a certain little Australian singer's had a few words to say about that.
Yes.
So, anyway, moving away from the point... who else came out of testing looking better? Can we say Force India, but were they... Chris, you got philosophical about this before we started recording.
I did, and I don't remember what I said.
You quoted Sun Tzu's Art of War.
I did, correct.
Yeah, if you are weak, if you are strong, appear weak, and if you are weak, appear strong. And Force India had some good times that nobody was expecting.
So are they weak and appearing to be strong to sort of get the upper hand early on?
Or are they trying to go, hey, look at us, we're dead good, we're dead fast, can we have some sponsors, please?
Yeah, are they doing the opposite to Mercedes?
Mm. Bag sanding.
Bags, yeah, but that sounds awful. That sounds almost as bad. They are teabagging. They're just teabagging everyone
else. You'll find bag sanding next to the dabbing section.
Yeah, Mercedes are sandbagging, Force India are teabagging.
Yeah.
Each other.
So were they trying to look better than they are because they knew that other teams wouldn't be going full tilt, and that is the best we're going to see from them all.
I think they're in a strong car. They were in a strong car at the end of last year.
Yeah.
I would be very surprised if they've slipped back too far from that. Mm-hmm. That said, I reckon they were genuinely showing their hand, not holding very much back at all.
But does that mean that then that if Ferrari were sandbagging, Mercedes were sandbagging, Force India were not? Does that mean that you might see Mercedes and Ferrari hit a couple of issues because they haven't actually run at full power quite yet? Whereas Force India are like, we know how our car behaves under full power. We're fine. And Hulk and Perez do a McLaren and get second and third at the first race.
The other thing to think is, don't forget that Mercedes and Ferrari have other teams running their engine that could run their respective engines at full power for them.
Yeah.
Without them having to do it in their car.
Dear Force India, you need money. We will pay you money if you run our engine at full speed.
Yeah.
We will collect the data. You will also have full access to it.
Haas 11 all the time. Yeah. So I say that kept breaking down, didn't it?
Exactly. But turn it up to 12. And then their wing broke off, and then, which they very American style bolted back on. Hey there, y'all got a bolt for that?
Yes, I do.
It took them all day to bolt it back on, which was not very American.
Yeah, but it's Roman Grosjean driving it, so they needed double bolts just in case he's about to run into somebody at some point.
Well, if it was Roman Grosjean, he probably got out and went for a coffee and some cake or something.
With Eric Boulier.
Yeah, probably. He went and saw his old boss.
McLaren, are they going to struggle?
Yeah.
Well, that was a short debate.
They are approximately a second off the pace, if not slightly more. It's not quite the few seconds it was at the beginning of last season. But ranging from, what was it, 40 to 100 horsepower down?
Depending on which rumours you believe and whether they've turned the horsepower knob up.
Yeah, there could be another team that haven't turned the wick up. I'd be surprised if they didn't, because they need to know what their car does.
But every time they're trying to turn the wick up last season, they found that there wasn't a wick.
Yeah, and well, then when Button was in the car, it ran okay. And then Fernando got in and it just
broke.
Give Fernando the full power. We did.
So last year, Fernando was slagging the car off quite publicly, and this year, every time he gets in it, it breaks.
Weird.
Which is strange, because isn't he questioning his Formula One future? After 2017.
Yeah, no. we will come to that. We will come to that shortly.
Yes.
I find it really hard to see where McLaren is, to be fair.
Sandbagging! 4 seconds quicker than everyone.
did we say that this time last year?
Yes.
On our first podcast.
On our very first podcast, I think we said that they would be 5 seconds a lap up. They were 5 seconds a lap down.
Williams, again another team where you can never tell how well they do in testing because they are experts at it.
Mm-hmm.
They just run the car and make sure that it works.
Yeah.
In a similar vein to McLaren, they run a very data-driven sort of way of doing things, in that they don't care how it feels. They look at the data. They want to know what the data's telling them.
Because Williams is a proper British team run by proper British engineers with sensible moustaches and pipes, and they're all called Reg.
That's right.
So they go out, do a testing run, get back, everyone has a cup of tea.
I think they'll be solid.
Stares at the car. Yeah, stares at the car and sucks through their teeth for... It's going to take a while to sort that out.
It's going to cost you.
Even the software developers, also called Reg, do the same thing. Take us a while to fix that bug.
And they're just looking at Massa.
Yeah.
I think they're going to be solidly third. Third fastest team.
I'm not even sure they'll be third. I think they're going to have a fight in their hands for third. I have said previously, I think it'll be with McLaren, and don't think that anymore.
No,
I think it's going to be Force India and Red Bull that are going to be at the
moment. I think Force India and Red Bull are going to be pretty close. Come Australia. I've got a funny feeling Williams is going to fight solid in no man's land a bit. Not slow enough to be challenged, not quite quick enough to challenge.
There's also the Toro Rossos, don't forget.
Yeah, which we haven't really seen them do anything other than break down a bit.
No, but the times have been all right, haven't they?
Yeah, to say that they're running last year's spec Ferrari engine as well. They are getting quite a lot out of the car.
Yeah, they did break down a few times during testing though.
How do we think Red Bull are gonna do with the engine that's caused all the problems?
I mean, it hasn't caused any problems.
Well,
this is a tag engine.
It's totally different to that other engine manufacturer.
Yeah, the one that they had last year. They've now got a tag. Everybody knows that a watchmaker can make a brilliant engine.
Runs like clockwork.
Absolutely.
Jesus.
Red Bull tag, whatever.
There's an interesting thing with Red Bull, though, where they built a really good car. You can see it's a really good car. there's something going on with the engine that they've got. Well, yeah,
it's made by Renault.
It shall not be made.
It's made by who?
Yeah, but they're going down a separate development path with the engine. There's some sort of deal had there where they're going to get the Renault updates, but they can also do stuff to their engine as well on like a separate development course.
Mm.
Which I wonder whether that's something to do with Ilmore.
I think it probably is.
I think Renault will win races this year, and I think by the end of the year they will be on form.
Don't prediction.
Don't look for them to win the first race, but look for them to win the last.
Yes, full on McLaren time.
Which will put Daniel Ricciardo in prime position for the empty Mercedes seat once Nico Rosberg gets fired.
Mm-hmm.
Why would he do that? It doesn't make sense for him.
Why wouldn't he do that?
Why would he want to be number two to Lewis Hamilton when he could be number one in a Red Bull that started winning races?
Well, why would he be number two to Sebastian Vettel in his first year of... Oh, wait. He's proven it before.
Yeah, but is he going to be? Would anyone be allowed to prove it in a Mercedes?
Yeah, I think whoever comes in would be wipe the slate clean.
No, I think if Mercedes don't go with Rosberg next year, they will bring in a
number two driver.
Pascal Wehrlein.
If he's good,
it might be all right.
That's the thing. We don't. You know, you can't slap Pascal into it.
In fact, Pascal isn't owned by Mercedes anymore.
Because the other day, when they were talking about Pascal going to Marussia, he was introduced as the former Mercedes driver.
Well, he was former Mercedes. He was their reserve driver last year.
Yeah, but I read it as...
Yeah, former Mercedes DTM driver.
Possibly, but I read it as former, like, development driver.
No, because don't forget he was driving a Mercedes in DTM as well as doing his Mercedes.
Yeah, no, but I'm just saying, I don't think he's got as much involvement with that. As he did.
I'm sure it was almost part of the engine deal.
No, Mercedes have said that they have two drivers out on loan this season. Pascal Wehrlein and Esteban Ocon, who's development driver for Renault this year. Talking of which, this is turning into a season preview. What are we going to expect to see from the returning French former champions?
Renault?
Hmm.
Well, we thought not
as
very
good
much
as
at first.
We expected.
Yeah, we thought not very much at first, although Lee's got an interesting theory. You think Kevin Magnussen's times mean that Renault are in a better position than we...
I think so. I don't think they're going to be challenging for podiums, and I think they're going to be on the back end of the points, but we were wondering before testing happened whether they'd be back there keeping the manners company, you know, with all of shenanigans that have gone on.
I think they might in... at least a few races.
Hmm. I think that they'll be ahead of Haas and...
Also, when's their race livery due for release?
Australia.
Really?
Yeah.
We don't see it until Australia?
Yeah.
Boring.
Yeah, I think, from what I've read, because they have been incredibly quiet on this, it looks like it's not going to come out until P1.
Boring.
For Australia, so we'll have to stay up... to the early hours of Friday morning to watch.
They're going to have the same.
We're going to stay up to the early hours of Friday morning to watch it anyway. It's going to be black and yellow.
Yeah, instead of having a black front, it's going to have a black and yellow stripy front.
It's going to be a giant B.
I quite like the black and yellow.
But they've said Tesla. It might not be because they've said they're not doing a B spec car, so we're not going to have black and yellow stripes.
Wasp spec.
Yeah.
The puns are downhill from here on.
Yeah, pretty much. No, Renault have actually said that they are that happy with the car that they have no plans to introduce a B-spec later in the year.
That's fine.
That came out of nowhere because nobody actually asked them, are you going to introduce a B-spec car for the second half of the season?
No, there wasn't they were asked, and it wasn't the fact that they were over the moon with this car. They just said there's no point in releasing a B-spec car when the 2017 rules are going to change everything.
They probably did that with a bit more shrugging because they are French.
Yeah.
And they do a good shrug.
But it makes sense for all the teams that I don't think we're going to see quite that development race through the season now. if you know, if the 2017 rules are ever hovering around.
If anyone ever actually gets to find out what they are.
I think what's been proposed.
We're going to design them in Geneva tomorrow. Yeah. What's been decided? Not
you
a lot.
You qualifying?
Not very much.
Yeah, have a meeting about the rules, but they agreed on the sandwiches.
Yeah.
That
Eric
was,
everyone gets to pick their own.
Yeah.
Eric Boulier was most impressed.
Yeah, that leaves new boys Haas. Again, we've touched on it briefly. Front wing issues, not the best times, but they are starting from the ground up.
Their sponsors will come with results.
Yeah.
They have impressed people. I suspect that they may struggle a bit in the early part of the season.
I think they've impressed people by actually getting the car out on track. And
giving it a go for a start.
Yeah.
Not a lot of fire.
Yeah.
I think they're going to be on pace with the back of the... With the back of the field, but like the proper back of the field.
I like the enthusiasm.
Not Formula One.
Formula One and a half.
Yeah, yeah. But again, I think what Haas have done, it should be the minimum of what's required if you're starting a Formula One team to come in and be on pace. I've been pretty harsh on Manor ever since we started doing this podcast. But if they could...
And for a good couple of years.
If Haas lap Manor are a disgrace. Like a full-on disgrace.
That is one way of looking at it. Are we going to see Manor close the gap significantly?
Nope.
Yep.
Yeah, I think we will. I don't think they're at the back. I honestly don't think they're at the back at the moment.
2 seconds off the pace, apparently, of the rest of the field.
Yeah, 2 seconds off the pace, whereas this time last year they were in, like, 8 seconds off the pace.
Three, they were off. They found a second. But that's, like, that's...
No, well, McLaren were 5 seconds off the pace, and they've still beaten Manor.
No, that's 5 seconds off the ultimate pace. I mean 2 seconds off the last car
From the back of the field.
From the back of the field.
From what was 17th and 18th last year, 19th and 20th.
But again...
Yeah.
But again, it's testing. We don't really know what's going on. But yeah, I mean, it looks like they're slow. They're not going to be. They're not going to be at the front. Of course, they're not. But I think they will close the gap. I don't think they're going to be right at the back all of the time, like we've seen them in 2015.
I genuinely think that will happen as well. I think Haas will lap Manor.
That might happen.
And if it does, it's crazy. Might as well have a GP2 car running around.
Well, the front of the GP2 grid last year, they were putting in times that would actually qualify for the F1 grid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So
the GP2, they still use the V8.
Yeah.
As I've always said, as far as I'm concerned, if the last car at the back of the Formula 1 grid should still be on pole for GP2. That's the way
I look at it. Jenson Button's term of F1 should be untouchable.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what his view that he put out. Was it earlier last week?
Yeah.
But, you know,
unattainable for most drivers, yeah. I think he said, didn't he?
Yeah. Except those with big enough checkbooks.
Yeah.
Which leads us on to Sauber, which we haven't said really how they're going to do, and it's going to be...
Well, then, didn't your car looked okay in the second test?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's about the best you can say. I mean, the first test was... mainly for aero and external enhancements, because they were running last year's car, last year's engine, some of this year's parts, and it was just a fitness exercise for the drivers.
Pretty much.
The cars not look bad. I mean, you did say a couple of weeks ago, Chris, that you thought they were going to be at the back with Manor and they were really going to struggle.
Yeah, and financially that might happen. But it's... The development is what worries me with Sauber, because they 2015 started strongly, really faded off towards the end.
Yeah.
They've got to start 2016 strongly as well, because if they don't, because I don't think they've got the money to develop, and the financial issue we spoke about
before. I don't think they've got the car to do that this year, though.
Yeah, that's it. If they don't develop, they're going to find themselves languishing poorly at the back of the field, I think, by about mid-season.
I think they'll be pretty far back in Australia. I think they might be in front of the Manors. but I don't. I think.
Yeah.
They're going to be keeping thing those is, every teams company.
Every single team, everybody in every single team has been upbeat. We've made a step forward. We've made changes. We are happy with how our car is. We think we can make progress. So I'm sorry, but someone's going to have to be right at the back.
Yeah, but that is the thing that you get with all the teams, because
unless everybody is right, which they won't be, and the pack has closed up considerably, and you'll have Mercedes, Ferrari, possibly Williams, Force India, Red Bull, in the top half, and then the second half will just be a complete mix-up. Hungry, hungry hippo style. You'll have no idea who's going to actually be, 10th, for example.
But the problem is,
you get
the teams releasing all these statements. Oh, we're delighted with the progress that we've made, and this is a massive step forward on last year, and blah 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 blah. And it's Maldonado syndrome, because the same answers are coming out time and time again, regardless of what the question is.
They're going to push hard.
Yeah, you look at an interview with
try better next time
with a driver on ESPN. You look at the same driver being interviewed on BBC, and the same driver being interviewed in Autosport. And it's just the same corporate line that comes out every single time.
Well, they're being asked the same questions. They're going to get the same answers.
And media training as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Is it a case of should they be asking better questions? Or does it matter? Because regardless of the questions, every time Maldonado got interviewed last year, is it true that the team can't afford the parts to replace what you've broken? Yes, we're going to push hard and we're going to try. I always push.
Yeah.
Can you spare us 10p for a cup of tea?
Yeah. My oil money hasn't come through yet.
I'm good for it.
Yeah. Can I do half a sandwich? But it's ridiculous, really, when you think about it. Because you get all these drivers being interviewed saying that one thing or the other, and the team's being like, yes, you must pump out this corporate line, but your car has improved, feels really good, feel like we've made a step forward, better than last year, looking to improve, aiming for the next spot up the grid. But then you got Lewis Hamilton, who was interviewed after his first day in the first test in the car. How does it feel, Lewis? No, not really much different to last year.
What were you saying about the art of war?
I was.
Mm. Fair point. Now, I said we're going to talk about Alonso. And he has said that his future in F1 all depends on next year's cars.
He is intrigued by 2017, but he does not like 2016.
No. Which is a shame, because he's got a year of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, Fernando, it's still March.
We are also intrigued by 2016 Alonso with his listing on Sky Sports' lineup list. Because they have all the teams and all the drivers and the engine suppliers and the reserve drivers named, and only next to Alonso's name it says under contract. What's that about?
I don't know.
Did somebody just forget?
Under contract but not confirmed?
Could be.
Is it a performance based thing? Like we speculated about last year, can he go at the like 3 or 4 races into this year? That McLaren is as big of a dog as it was last year. Can he go? See you later, boys. I'm out of here.
Sod this. See you next year when you got a car that works.
Yeah, don't and forget. McLaren just go. Stoffel, come back from Japan now.
The
Stoffel.
There's only one race in the F1 calendar that Stoffel van Dorn is racing in Japan, and tellingly it's the Monaco Grand Prix. So even if Alonso does walk, I reckon he'd come back for Monaco just to be seen there.
Yeah.
The richest sponsors race.
Hang on a second. Fernando Alonso's final Grand Prix before, in inverted commas, retirement.
Sabbatical.
Sabbatical, yes. Yeah.
Well, isn't there
the Monaco Grand Prix, they'd make a spectacle of it, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
But there's talk
now. Watch Fernando Alonso's final Grand Prix on whatever channel you want to watch it on.
But there's already talks now, at this point of the season, that Alonso is favourite for Rosberg's seat.
Yeah, but has that all come from last week's story where he was going to Mercedes in a direct swap with Hamilton 2 years ago. And
well, it seems to be the, you know, like when you watch these programs, you watch the, like stuff Ted Kravitz do, or you watch the BBC stuff, and they, you know, all these people know stuff that they can't say on camera.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So now and again, they just come out with, oh, but there's always like Fernando Alonso and Mercedes link still. And because you know that behind the scenes, they know this. And Ted Kravitz said something very interesting.
Unless it's Martin Brundle and he says, I know what's going on, but I can't tell you.
Yeah. The Ted Kravitz said something very interesting on his little test and preview show, because they were speaking about Alonso and this thing came up about Alonso and Mercedes. And the guy from Autosport said, let's face it, if Fernando can get himself in a Mercedes, Fernando would really like that. Ted Kravitz answered it by saying, and so would Bernie Eccleston, and I think that's slightly more important.
Bernie Eccleston wants Fernando in a Mercedes.
Bernie Eccleston, Fernando Alonso in a Mercedes next to Lewis Hamilton for 2017, when they have faster cars and more fireworks.
Not just between the drivers.
Yeah.
It would be entertaining.
It would.
Don't mention fireworks. We'll get burning ideas.
Okay, so we can't do the sprinklers, so we'll do the track on fire.
Yeah. The other thing I thought
random
was interesting.
Fireworks. Landmines.
When you spotted the Sky Sports thing with Fernando's contract, that same week, Eric Bullier came out in an interview and said, oh, we've given Alonso everything that he had, that everything that was required of us to give him. And that, it just came out as a strange thing to say. You know, it wasn't like, oh, well, the team's doing this, the team's doing that. We've given Fernando
everything that we were required to give him.
Yeah.
Basically, what I'm taking from that is Fernando has got McLaren by the balls, and if they don't sing his exact tune, he's off and he's taking their balls with him.
I think he's got to, hasn't he? He knows. He will never win a world championship with McLaren Honda. Jensen won't win another a world championship with McLaren Honda now.
No.
If for that to happen, they had to be at least Williams' pace in testing this year.
But for the pain that they went through last year, McLaren do owe them both the seat this year.
Absolutely.
They owe them both the chance this year again. I mean, if they stuff it up for them, they might lose both of them.
Yeah.
And you know McLaren are not keen on getting rid of two drivers and getting two drivers in, and, you know, doing the double driver swap.
Well, I think Alonso leaving, because I think Jensen would stay at McLaren.
Yeah.
To stay in Formula One and to stay within McLaren. I don't think he'd particularly want to go somewhere else, unless it was like Williams or something where he thought it was going to be a bit further up the grid. Because I think while you're in McLaren, there's always that chance of something incredible happening, you know, and them getting the ducks in a row. You know, that chance is there. Go to Williams, you might have the opportunity to win a race before you retire. But if Alonso leaves, I think it will save Jensen's Formula One career, because I think they'll keep Jensen and put Stoffel in the car next year. So,
an interesting...
Yeah, I can see where you're coming from with that.
Because you couldn't have Stoffel, Van Dorn, and then AN other, you know, with Stoffel leading
Stoffel
the team.
Stoffel and Cole Magnussen back. Treats.
Kev, you know, we fired you last year on your birthday.
Well, Stoffel and Rosberg.
What?
Stoffel and Rosberg.
I'd keep Jensen up with Rosberg.
Yeah, I think
Rosberg's not McLaren material,
I don't think he's McLaren material.
No.
You have to be very set in your ways to...
Why would you, right? If you're McLaren, who essentially, because of internal politics, lost one of the top three drivers in the world when they lost Lewis Hamilton to Mercedes, you couldn't take on, after losing Lewis, the guy which Lewis is continually beaten in the same car. You just couldn't do it. It would look stupid. Because
they did.
What?
They took on the guy who Lewis continually beat in the same car.
Well,
yeah.
Do you know what? I still think that year where McLaren fucked it up by not giving, they should have given Alonso preferential treatment instead of, which I think they gave Lewis preferential treatment over Fernando Alonso, because you had the first black Formula One driver in his rookie year that was British, in a British team that could win a world championship.
That had effectively developed his career since he was about 10 anyway.
Yeah, the marketing potential, if he'd done that, was just incredible.
Yeah.
Instead they handed it to Kimi.
Yeah, it's pretty much. There's a great meme with Alonso and Hamilton beating each other up, and Kimi stood in the corner with the trophy going, if you don't want this, I'll take it. Yeah.
17 points behind with two races to go with 20 points up for grabs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he won the championship.
Yeah. But you could almost say that I know they won the championship the year after with Lewis, but I think they'd have won an extra championship with Alonso if it would have been kept like that. I think they would have won 2008 with Alonso, because I don't think Lewis would have beaten Alonso in a second year within that team. And it just seems to me the process of bad decisions started when Alonso joined McLaren. And it essentially, all the decisions that have been made since then have just been a step down until they're in this position.
Law of averages dictates they've got to get something right at one point.
No, it doesn't. It's Formula One.
Yeah, fair point. Well, mate.
Sorry, am I allowed to say that? Is Bernie going to sue us if I mention the sports?
Well,
just don't take pictures of it.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Don't post you driving a Formula One car.
What happens if I go to a Formula One track for a practice session or for a qualifying session or a race, and I Snapchat to all of my friends a session of some cars coming past? Am I going to be asked to delete that? Because guess what? Snapchat deletes it as soon as you've opened it.
Is Bernie above the law, or is Bernie above Snapchat?
It's a question for the lawyers.
Yeah. Put your tinfoil hats on and work that one out. Right, we will be back next week, and I'm really looking forward to saying this now, with an Australian Grand Prix preview.
Woo-hoo! We've got a season starting.
Which we kind of did tonight, but shh.
Well, no, we did a season preview.
Almost.
Yeah, when we previewed Australia, and there's all this, there's a week's worth of stuff to come out yet.
Yes.
Yeah, the six drivers in line for Alonso's seat.
And a new qualifying format.
And a new qualifying format, which will probably, the way things are going, is qualifying going to be the same as it is at the moment? Tweet us, #quali yes or #quali no if you think. It works for other TV shows,
yeah.
TV shows, podcasts.
And if you could leave us more nice reviews there.
Yeah, more nice reviews and feedback on iTunes would be great.
And tell your friends who like Formula One to listen to us as well.
Yep.
And
definitely.
Have a cup of tea. Since we're bossing you around.
Yeah. Have some biscuits as well.
Yeah, take it easy. Yeah. Have the day off tomorrow.
What if you're listening to this on Saturday?
Have the day off tomorrow.
We'll leave you with that. So we'll see you next week for the first preview of the season.
If you listen to it on Friday, have a long weekend.
Bye.
Bye.